Well, we started this new series in the last broadcast on the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the question that the men came back with Paul when he asked them, had they been baptized, or what method they had been baptized. They'd been baptized by John and under the baptism of John, and they said, we've never heard of the Holy Spirit. And so we talked about that as Paul told about Christ, and as they believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then he baptized them in water baptism. But when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, and you're also baptized in the Holy Spirit and into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, we're going to talk about a life without the power of the Holy Spirit. That kind of prodded us when these men said, we hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, a lot of people haven't. And then a lot of people have, but they're not walking in the Spirit, and they're not relying upon the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about, what does a life look like without the Holy Spirit, or not relying upon the Holy Spirit? Well, John chapter 15, verse 5, let me lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into God's Word today. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the wonderful privilege to share the Word of God. Thank you for every listener today, that you may bless and encourage and minister to them. I pray if there's one who knows you not as Savior, that today the Word of God will clearly speak to their hearts and they may trust you by faith. If there are those, Lord, who have been born again and the Holy Spirit indwells them, but yet, Lord, they are not yielding and walking in the Spirit, that you would teach them today, and Lord, that we may all see the importance of it. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the vine. He's the source of life. He's the source of nutrition, the source of everything that flows into us to live the Christian life. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we're born again, so we're attached to the vine, and life from Christ flows into us. He then says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you're not born again, if you're not indwelt in Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God living in your life, you can't accomplish anything for Christ. You can't do the things of the Lord Jesus. Well, how is the Lord with us today? Well, we know the Holy Spirit, called the Comforter, our teacher, our guide, the Empowerer. He said, I'll give you power that you might be my witnesses. The Convictor, we'll talk more about that possibly today. See, we're at a great disadvantage if we do not recognize the person and the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All truth and doctrine and action are rooted in the Holy Spirit to lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, as we're looking at this, you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. You've heard born of the Spirit. We're going to look at this in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a very religious man, a man who knows the Old Testament scriptures, but he doesn't know Jesus. He's never been born again. And Jesus is speaking to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he says again in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says that Nicodemus was just amazed by this. How can a man, when he's old, enter to his mother's womb a second time and be born again? Here he's a religious man and a leader in the Jewish religion. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, you must be born again. Now, when he talks about being born of water, he's talking about the Word of God, the impact that the Word of God has upon our lives so that we can be born again. And as we look at this passage of Scripture over in the book of James, The Lord talks about this passage of Scripture, James chapter 1, verse 18. Listen, it says, of his own will, God's will, he gave us birth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You see it? The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so as we understand this and see this, the word of God plays an important and valuable part in our new birth, that we can be washed in the blood, that we can be born again in the power and the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is also touched over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 26. Listen, he's using the illustration of husbands and wives loving each other. But then in the last part of verse 25, he said, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then he says this, why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the word. So you can see that the Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit of Almighty God, is vital in our new birth, in our being born again and washed in the blood of the Lord. You remember the passage of Scripture? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's why God tells it's so important. Preach the word. We got to preach the word of God to people. And the Holy Spirit will take the word and convict hearts and lives and touch and move upon their heart and upon their soul and upon their lives. Now, there are two important aspects regarding salvation, as we said. The word of God and the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God takes the word of God and puts it in our heart, convicts it, and shows us the truth of God's word, and then we come to trust him by faith. And then when we're looking back on our salvation, we're not just saying, well, I had an experience. You did, praise the Lord. But you also have the affirmation to be able to look in the word of God and say, I did this, and God did what he said he would do, and because of the word of God, I know that I'm saved. There will be some days you don't feel saved. You're not going to feel all the fire and enthusiasm and excitement that you did maybe when you first were born again. But you can look in the word of God and say, I did what God said, and God never lies. The Spirit of God will witness to your heart that you are born again. Amen? Well, let's go back over to to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And let's look at this passage of Scripture. I want to begin at verse 7. And I'm going to read through verse 14, and then we're going to come back and exegete these verses so we can look in the depth. Listen to verse 7. Nevertheless, I say unto you, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That's the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Watch, this is key, verse 14. He shall glorify me, but he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, let's go back and let's kind of walk our way through this. Look at verse 7 again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, they didn't understand this. They would rather have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Who wouldn't? But they did not grasp the importance of having the Holy Spirit with a universal presence. in all believers at the same time. No matter where we are in the world, Jesus is with us through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is accessible to all of us 24 hours a day, every day. So it's expedient, it's important, it's vital. Now look at verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, we're going to look at the reproving ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's declared right here before us that that's one of the jobs, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. John 3, the Holy Spirit, we see his regenerating ministry. You must be born of the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see the restraining ministry, that he holds back the work of the wicked one until he's taken out of the way at the rapture with us. 2 Peter 1, we see the revelation ministry, where God revealed the truth to men as they were moved by the Spirit. Now, let's look at this reproving ministry of the Holy Spirit that's done in the souls of men. That's vitally important for us. Remember when the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin? Boy, I do. Look at verse 8 again. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. You see, a person must see himself or herself as God sees man. That man is a sinner that is lost, that is separated from Almighty God, that has been a rebel. And the word reprove is the Greek word which means to convict. It means to make us see that we're guilty, to convince us of sin. You don't think you need a Savior until you realize you're a sinner. So the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin and deals in our heart and in our life. Look at verse 8 again. Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. That we see the need to be made right with God. We don't have any righteousness. Ours is as a filthy rag. And we see the need for Jesus Christ and his imputed righteousness. I wouldn't trust the best 5 seconds of my life. I'm so thankful Jesus died for a sinner like me. I'm thankful he was buried, he was resurrected, and he justified me, and he imputed his righteousness to me. I'm going to heaven because Jesus is righteous, and he's given me his righteousness. Look at the third thing he mentions. He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word that's used here, judgment, is krisis. It can mean damnation, of damnation to come, of condemnation, of accusation. Why? Why does he convict us of these three things? Well, look at verse 9. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus tells us, of sin because they believe not on me. Listen to me. This is so important. Unbelief of sin is the sin that damns the soul. God will forgive all other sins except the sin of refusing to believe upon Jesus Christ because we're sinners and he's the only Savior. He is the only Savior. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So he convicts us of sin because we don't believe it. We don't believe we're sinners. We're really good. I've heard people, thousands, say, I'm a good person, really. I mean, I do good deeds, and I'm just trying to do more good than I do bad. That's not going to get you to heaven. You do one sin, you're a sinner until you've been washed in the blood. And then verse 10, he says, of righteousness. He convicts of righteousness. Why? Because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. You see, Jesus is the only truly righteous one without sin that's ever been on this earth. He's an example of God's holiness. So we see him, we see the Father. So when he returns to heaven, we don't see Jesus, our example. But the Holy Spirit is able to take the Word of God and witness to us of the holy, loving person of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that if we believe upon him, God will forgive us our sins and give us everlasting life. So he's got to convict us of what is righteousness and what is the way to righteousness. Repent of our sins and call upon the name of the Lord. And then in verse 11, he says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is a judge. Now, you know Satan is the prince of this world system. He's called the god of this world. He's not talking about the physical earth. He's talking about the world ungodly system that is all around us. Satan is the lord of all things and all people who reject Jesus and prefer to live in their sins. And he's saying he is already sentenced to the lake of fire. God has judged him. The Lord Jesus Christ has already triumphed over Satan and his principalities and his powers that we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 15. The cross and the resurrection were the doom of Satan. So this is the convicting, reproving ministry and work of the Holy Spirit of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Now, then we see the moving from the reproving to the revealing. We're convicted. And now there's a revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? At this point in their spiritual understanding, he's talking to his apostles, the disciples, and in their growth, they don't understand completely all this happening. Judaism is going to be set aside. They struggled with this. Even Peter, when God sent him to Cornelius, he had to give him that vision, that dream of sending down the food that the Old Testament condemned, and God said, take it and eat it. Oh, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything like that in my whole life. God did it three times. And then Peter perceived that God was tempted, because God said, don't say anything's unclean that I say is clean, that God can make it clean. And so then he goes down to Cornelius and preaches the word, and they're born again. And so the Gentile, they don't understand this, not at this point. He said, you can't understand what I'm going to teach you. The coming church, they don't know anything about the church. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they haven't touched this yet until Pentecost, after Jesus is resurrected and the Holy Spirit comes down, of the new teacher, the Holy Spirit that's going to come and be with them, that the Gentiles are going to be accepted by faith into the body of Christ, and that the Holy Spirit will unfold the new dispensation, the church age, and the inspired and errant Word of God. This is the revealing process. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them yet. You're not ready for them. But look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Now, the word guide is the word hodigo, which means to lead the way. This speaks of a pilgrimage. God orders the steps of the righteous man and woman. You get saved, you're growing. You're not mature yet. You're a baby. You're being fed milk. And a lot of people stay babies. And they can be saved 20 years and not grow if you don't listen to God and the Holy Spirit, let him lead you. This speaks of a pilgrimage, of a process, of a growing period. So the Holy Spirit takes us step by step and teaches. So don't jump all over yourself when you don't understand everything, and that God is loving you, and God is teaching you, and God is bringing you to the place that God wants you to be. So this is a revealing principle. Look at verse 13 again. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now watch, Jesus says, for he, the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of himself. Now, the Holy Spirit's goal is not to lift up himself. He never majors on himself as a person. The Holy Spirit's goal is to glorify Jesus. The teaching comes from the same source. What he says, for whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And it's coming from God the Father. Jesus said in John 15:15. He said, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So the same source of truth coming from God the Father, enforcing everything that Jesus Christ has said and done. So the Holy Spirit will glorify the incarnate Word, Jesus, and the inspired Word, the written Word of Almighty God. All right? So you cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That we understand that. All right, let's look at the second thing. You can't have assurance without the Holy Spirit. You can't have assurance without the Holy Spirit. Look over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, when I preach out in other churches and people ask, how can I have assurance of my salvation? So many people struggle with this. They worry, am I really saved? If you're saved, listen, the Holy Spirit lives in you and is a witness to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, that's our human spirit, that we are the children of God. He tells you. You then know that you're saved. You listen to the Holy Spirit of God. He witnessed to your heart. He says, you are mine. You belong to me. And that we understand this. Look over to 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 5, verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 first, and look at verse 24. Watch this statement the Holy Spirit is telling us, and as John has penned this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he that keepeth his commandments, the Lord's, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. You can tell you've been changed and born again because your goal in life is to live in obedience to the Scripture. Do we all the time? No. We fail. But thank goodness the Holy Spirit then convicts us of sin. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that dwelleth in his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You see, the Holy Spirit of God has been given to us that we have the new birth. Now look at chapter 5, if you would, verse 7. This is a wonderful statement. There are three that bear witness in heaven, or record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Now don't you ever question the Trinity. There's so many verses in the Bible that says God is three in one. Here's one of them. And then he says there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Holy Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three are one. It's the water of the Word of Almighty God and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing witness in this earth. All right, now look at chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, he's born again, hath the witness in himself. The Holy Spirit indwells you, and he witnesses to you. He takes the Word of God and witnesses to you. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. You don't believe you're a sinner. You don't believe you've made God a liar, because he that believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Wow. Well, look at chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, the Word of God, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit, the Word of Almighty God, witnesses in our hearts and in our souls that we have been born again. Amen? And as you read the Word, as you grow in grace, that wonderful affirmation, not your own goodness, not anything you ever did. You're not justified because you did just things. You're justified because Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, resurrected. John 5 said he justified you. He made you just. He made me just. And that is witnessed to us, as the Bible tells us, by the Holy Spirit of God when we're born again, who comes to dwell within us. Now, we're going to have to stop today. We'll pick up with this in the next broadcast. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. You can't have assurance of your salvation without the Holy Spirit. He's the witness of our assurance along with the Word of God. Now, the third thing we're going to start in the next broadcast, you can't be Christ-like without the Holy Spirit. You can't be Christ-like in your living, victorious in your living, without the power of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling and leading and working and walking in you as you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, could I just plead with you today to stop and be still and listen to the Holy Spirit? He'll convince you that you're a sinner. He'll convince you Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the only one. There is no other religion. There is no other way outside Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. Would you cry out to God today? Would you call on Him to save your soul and be washed in the wonderful blood of the Lord? I thank you for being with us on the broadcast today. We're broadcasting our home station, WDYN, and the three frequencies, two FMs, one AM, the base there. And many of you are listening by USBs. Some of you are listening off of feed, off of the Grace in the Bible out of Dallas, Texas. And many of you have the USBs in a small group in the Bible studies. And just pray that God will use us. If you can give a gift to WDYN, look them up on the internet, WDYN Chattanooga, Tennessee, and send them a love offering. And thank Brother Tommy Sneed and the staff for the great job they're doing. Well, until the next broadcast, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.